All right, and welcome to the Week 5 edition of Keep It About Ball. I'm your host, Zach. What a great slate of games we have this week on paper and on the field. Tons to talk about from the Week 5 slate here. Lots of new questions fantasy-wise as well. Is Tolbert officially the new number 2 in Dallas? Did Tyrone Tracy just steal the starter role? Was this Garrett Wilson's breakout week that we've all been waiting for? I'll get into that and, you know, maybe some other fantasy thoughts and topics on some of these games as well. I'll break down some of the other games in the next episode, which I'll record tonight, probably during the Chiefs game, the Chiefs-Saints game. I'll get into that game a little bit tonight, too. I'll have podcast rankings for the leagues either with tonight's episode, or I'll do that as its own episode sometime tomorrow. But we'll get into that some of these games right now, some initial thought from the week, and a little bit of some Week 6 look ahead at the bye teams, some stuff maybe to prepare for. So before I do all that, please make sure you go like and subscribe. Everything everywhere now has been changed to Keep It About Ball from ZBR Sports. So if you're looking for us on Twitter by chance, it's at Keep It About Ball now. I am still at Zach Got That Dog, at least for a little bit longer. I kind of want to change that, but we'll see. Getting into the show, initial thoughts from the week. Good week for tight ends, which is really nice. I feel like everyone's probably felt the struggle in one way or another this year. Unless you just maybe had the right guy or two on your team and then streamed a good tight end or two because you had a hunch and you just played it all right. But I think so far everyone's kind of, maybe aside Brock Bowers managers, you've probably been pretty happy most of the time. It's been pretty rough. But, you know, this week Tucker Kraft had a really good week, I would say, established himself, perhaps, you know, would say arrived. Him, Brock Bowers, and Kittle all had 20-plus point days in PPR. Kyle Pitts had a good day on Thursday night. I'm sure everyone knows that by now. I think it was like 17 points. Of course, Kirk threw the ball, like, I think it was like 58 times or 52, whatever it was. It was fucking crazy either way. So he finally got his targets and, you know, got some production, but Kirk's probably not going to throw the ball that many times every game. Well, I don't know. He might. It's Kirk Cousins. But, yeah, we'll see. Either way, if you're a Kyle Pitts guy, that was a big dub for you. And if you're a Mark Andrews truther, he showed signs of life. Even though there were three relevant tight ends in Baltimore this week, as far as fantasy goes, especially. And 16 total tight ends scored double-digit points. And that's just going into tonight's game, too. That's before Travis Kelce, before Juwan Johnson, maybe Foster Moreau. We'll get into that a little bit later. Other things I took away. I kind of think we learned a lot about a lot of these teams, a little bit of who's for real, who's fraudulent, you know, who was, you know, not bad and just kind of got off to a bad start looking at you, Bengals. shout out to Ja'Marr Chase for missing all of camp. That definitely didn't help. I feel like we're getting to that point where we're really kind of starting to see who teams are. You kind of saw the Panthers, we'll get into that a little bit, I guess, you know, coming down from that high a little bit though. Just not looking as good on offense as they had maybe the past couple games. And I think even in the last game, you kind of saw the sign that they were maybe starting to come back to life from that Andy Dalton high. But we'll get into that. But also just, I think we're starting to get into that mid-season form. Or maybe it's just true early season form. I don't know. I still feel like the preseason, people not playing that, it's still having its effect. So maybe we're just now seeing, like, what week 2 or 3 would have been like, you know, in some years past. I won't say last year because, you know, teams been doing this for a while and kind of easing their way into it. I don't know. I don't want to get on that whole rant right now. Nobody wants to talk about the fucking preseason. So coming into this week for the pick'ems, I was 40-24. And going into Monday Night Football, I am 48-29. Not too bad. I need to start betting all these games straight up and seeing if that pays off for me. But getting into this, we'll start with the Sunday night game first. If you're trying to watch this on the East Coast, probably super annoying with the weather delay. I don't think it started until like 8:30 Central, so that's like 9:30 their time. I don't think it ended till almost midnight, or maybe even after midnight. They were even joking about doing breakfast and some other shit on the broadcast, and I was like, hey, slow your roll a little bit, bro. baseball broadcasts go like 2 a.m. Even basketball broadcasts go like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. sometimes, like at midnight regularly. Slow your roll talking about breakfast and the morning coffee and all. I don't like that Sunday night. Who called that game last night? I don't remember who that was, but I did not enjoy it. But as far as the game goes, I tuned in about 7 minutes into it. Just a very defensive game, but, you know, still had some fantasy value to find outside of that. You know, Dowdle with the 20-point fantasy point game. Tolbert, you know, like we said, probably the wide receiver too now. Brandon Cooks was already kind of, you know, on the line there, you know. It probably, you know, working his way towards wide receiver 3. We heard good stuff, you know, about Tolbert coming out of camp and early in the year. So, and he looked really good last night, and Dak obviously likes him. And even as a CD owner and as a CD truther, I'm here for it just because you can't, even as good as CD is, you can't just throw him the ball 16 times every game and expect that, even for fantasy, to always and consistently and in a long-term way, like, be productive for you. Like, that's just, it's not going to be good. So I love that if they have a solid number, not an elite number two guy, just a solid number two guy like there, like Tolbert. I like that. Just something you have to respect so that you can't just, let's say, all right, we're going to put the safety here to help the corner, and then we're going to have the linebacker. He's going to move up into his zone, you know, right here to cut off this angle if he wants to cut across the field. No, because you got to plan around it, and I kind of like seeing Dowdle. Let me pull up his stat line here. I have it up. He had a nice game as well. Of course, it all backed out. That's okay. We can pull it right back up. Rico Dowdle. 20 carries, 87 yards. I mean, not crazy. What is that average? 87 divided by 20. I mean, that's over 4 yards a carry. 4.3. Rounded up to 4.6, honestly. or whatever. But yeah, couple catches, caught both of his targets, 27 yards. And, of course, one of them was that touchdown. That was a big play. Jalen Tolbert, 7 to 10, 87 yards, the touchdown. C.D. Lamb, 5 of 9 targets, 62 yards. Honestly, as long as he's consistently getting, you know, that 8, 9, and then plus, if 8 and 9 is C.D.'s floor, I'm all right with, as far as targets go. I know he's going to make the most of them most of the time. So if Tolbert wants to get 10 targets a game, I'm cool with that. To me, that just, let's crank up the offense. Let's crank up the offense. That just helps Dowdle. That helps C.D. Lamb. That helps Dak. That just helps fantasy managers in general. Like, let's get that going. Come, let's go Tolbert. But yeah, and then 10 plus point games from 3 different tight ends in this game. They were 3 of those 16. I doubt anyone was really starting Connor Hayward, who was one of them. Of course, Ferguson and Pratt Freiermuth, you know, he had the late TD. But yeah, I don't think anyone was starting Connor Hayward. If you did on the off chance, it was only because, like, you're either in a league that starts 2 tight ends and you were dealing with, like, a Dallas Goedert bye and you just had a hunch or something on it. You're like, I'm going with this guy, and that, or that was just what was available, or your hunches are goated. If you were just, like, in a standard league and you're like, I have a hunch on this dude, I have Dallas Goedert, I'm going to pick up Hayward. If you just had that hunch, I mean, that's goated, and I would probably brag about that. I would probably brag about that for sure. I would be in the group chat talking about, hey, look what I did. And then one last thing from this game. Just, again, kind of want to glaze my wide receiver one here a little bit. But his blocking, you saw it on display on that play to Ferguson where he was going down the field. They were both, like, right there. You know, as soon as CD saw the ball was going to Ferguson, he didn't even look to see if he caught it. He just turned around and started fucking blocking. And he laid a good block right there to help Ferguson get by, and then was able to stay in front of him, and then got another important block that helped him get another, what was like, 4 or 5 yards before he got tackled. So just, that's my wide receiver one, damn it, and every bit of those yards counted and mattered, and yeah, I just, that's my wide receiver one, and you just love to see the blocking out of a top tier wide receiver right there. You know, you heard a lot of people, maybe even on this show through the off season, oh, CD Lamb, diva, blah, 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 diva, diva, diva. Because he's trying to do contract negotiations with Jerry Jones, who I think we all know how that goes. Look how that went for Dak. Was CeeDee really a diva? Is he really a diva? And it's, oh, Justin Jefferson, not a diva, just a wholesome guy. Wasn't he throwing his helmet on the sideline because he wasn't getting the ball? Or just wasn't, like, he kind of looked like a diva over there, looking pretty frustrated. I'm sure I'm missing some context. Well, actually, Justin Jefferson, I'm sure. I'm glad nobody's here to defend him here so that I can just talk this shit. Because I know if one of our Vikings fans here, resident Vikings fan, I guess it's just one now, were here. But either one, Reed or Brady were here, I would be hearing it. And probably, I don't want to say probably, but potentially be eating some crow on what I just said. But they're not here, so I'm not. So Justin Jefferson confirmed diva. CeeDee Lamb is the guy you want to build around for sure. next up, we got the Panthers visiting the Bears in Chicago. Full transparency, I was a Caleb hater and doubter in the offseason and all the way leading up and into the season. But I'm kind of starting to come around to him, especially at least on like a player on the field standpoint. He looked pretty good yesterday, and he's gotten better every week, you know. And that first touchdown to DJ Moore was that was a beautiful throw. It was right to him. And if he keeps getting better like this every week, the Bears defense, and if they can stay the course, they might just make this division a lot more interesting than it's already becoming. I'm not saying they're going to win it or anything like that, or making the playoffs or sneaking some wild card. I'm not even talking about sneaking a wild card, but they will be in the hunt graphic and probably significantly in it. They will probably ruin someone's playoff hopes in a run of trying to make their own. Or they'll win like four games still. either way. as far as fantasy from this game though went though, looks like the Andy Dalton ride is over, like I kind of said earlier. Reported a couple weeks ago that that Bryce Young was expected to start again, you know. And with Dalton struggling, albeit against a really good defense, they went ahead and got Bryce Young some reps in there. And it, from what I saw, it looks like Dalton is the starter for next week. So I guess they were really just kind of getting Bryce Young some reps. They're doing some weird shit now. I don't know what they're doing. Dave Canales is a QB guy, and he's helped a lot of guys, you know, with their careers. I think it's Geno and Baker most recently, but I don't know what they're doing, but I guess I'll trust that he's doing the right thing and doing what Bryce needs there. But that's a really weird thing they got going on. That's gonna kind of be like their division rival was last year, the Falcons, the way they're kind of back and forth between a couple quarterbacks. It's like, bro, just commit to one of these guys, like going back and forth all these times. Them and who's the Raiders? I feel like those both the Raiders and the Panthers are going to kind of be like the Falcons in that sense this year. Although Raiders, still sticking it out with Gardner, but I think they're going to have him on a short leash, especially once Devontae's gone. I mean, if he's gone, honestly, I tweeted this, not to get too distracted, but No, I'll save that for tonight when I talk about the Raiders. I'll save that when I talk about the Raiders. As far as this game went, though, beyond Andy Dalton, oops, just kind of scrolled way too far there. Beyond Andy Dalton and that being over, just not a lot to look forward to and be happy if you bought in on Adam Thielen or Deontay Johnson, thinking everything was fixed with those two. Or, like, I'm buying low on Adam Thielen. Not that everything's fixed with him, but I'm going to buy low on him because everything is fixed and everything's going to be great when he comes back, and he's going to have all these targets when he comes back. Or Deontay Johnson or even Xavier Leggett. I think he had one catch on one target today. Panthers offense is not where you want to be. Chuba's nice to have. I don't want to tip any hands of mine, but I would say maybe consider selling high on Chuba. I don't think his workload's going to go crazy away when Jonathan Brooks does come back, because he has obviously earned a significant part of the role. He was good yesterday, had that big long run for the touchdown, and he's been good. And that's going back. He's been good for the Panthers. You go back to when he was the backup for C-Mac. He stepped in, and he was the original Jordan Mason, and Like, that was, those were, that was nice. Because I was, I, not like trying to toot my horn or anything, but had picked him up one of those years. I think I actually don't even think it was like a preemptive thing. Like, oh, I was like getting ahead of the curve. I'm pretty sure he was available as like a waiver wire option. And I just had like the highest waiver priority. It had like the highest claim on him. And I just, yeah, he ended up being a great pickup and stashed him, I think, the year after that. And I'm pretty sure he was there for a couple games and was, you know, really nice there for that. And you've seen how it went last year, how it's gone this year. Chuba is the man. I love Chuba. But they obviously like Jonathan Brooks and are going to want him to get some work in. I don't think they're going to give him a crazy workload this year. I think it'll be more than Miles Sanders, who will still have a slight workload. His workload will go down to next to nothing. It won't be nothing, but it'll be really close to it. Chuba probably be, you know, if I had to guess, like 60% of the snaps, 50% of the snaps. And then, you know, you're looking at probably Jonathan Brooks, like a good 40%, 45%. Miles Sanders, you know, making up, you know, another 10%, you know, here or there for some two-back stuff, you know, because some they'll be on the field with two-backs at some points. Yeah, just not a lot to look forward to there in the Carolina offense. If you had some of these guys, the receivers especially, and you sold high on them right now, I bet you are feeling really fucking good about those deals. On the Chicago side, I suppose, DeAndre Swift had that solid outing. Roshan had a couple of touchdowns as well. The Bears, fantasy-wise, actually wasn't bad. Caleb Williams had the good fantasy day, you know, two tutties. I thought it was three touchdowns. But either way, 300 yards, only 9 incompletions, 34 rushing yards. DeAndre Swift, 73 yards, touchdown, couple catches for 47 yards. Roshan, couple touchdowns for 15 points. He didn't do a whole lot outside of that, but just relevant with what he did do it with. And which scoring, man? I'm in Hillary Dust Prime scoring, so some of the scoring might be a little bit off. I guess Caleb Williams probably didn't have 41 points in your league, maybe. But even Romo Dunze had an okay day. I think the 6 targets is encouraging for him and Keenan Allen. I think that's encouraging for both, you know, just to see that they are both involved in all three. We knew DJ Moore would be the lead guy here, and seeing that the other two are still going to be like that involved, I think that's really nice if you bought them, because I think that's realistically probably about what you hope for in targets, was like 5 to 7 targets a game. So getting 6 is probably right about where you want to be. Just one last thing on this game. The Panthers still have D. Moore on their team, wide receiver. It's David Moore? Yeah, 29-year-old dude, been in the league for a while. I thought that was really weird. I was looking at it, I was like, wait, there's 2 D. Moores right here, like, on opposite sides. That was really weird. Moving forward, Ravens at Bengals. I finally got my QB1 game I've been looking for from Burrow since I drafted him in Dynasty last year. Obviously, he's had some good games and has had games that justify where I picked him. But for me, this was the first game where I looked at, like, what he did overall, especially in our Hillary Dust Prime League. It was, like, 60 points. I looked at it, I was like, that is why I drafted that dude. That is why I took him. That is why I took him over Lamar, which I will admit was the wrong decision. Because if I had Lamar, oh, man, this league wouldn't. Oh, man. Man. Everyone would have quit by now. I'd be too fucking good. great to see an awesome day out of Joe Burrow, 5 touchdowns, you know, getting the ball to both of his elite guys, got another touchdown to Yoshivas, so, you know, the Yoshivas truthers out there, you know, they get a little something in the game, too. Jermaine Burton, nowhere to be seen. Is he still hurt? No, just, what's the snap percentage? 1% of the snaps. Wow. So, if you have him in Dynasty, I would definitely consider, if you have him in Dynasty, looking at saying, hey, 1% of the snaps, they obviously don't think he's ready. I would maybe, they see something there that they don't like, that they didn't know, because Trent Irwin, let's look at him, like, okay, he wasn't on the field, all right, fair enough. All right. Did Charlie Jones outsnap him? Yeah, Charlie Jones outsnapped him. Yoshivas, obviously. So he's their wide receiver five. If you could move Burton for some decent value, I would probably do that. That's rough. But yeah, just good game from that whole offense. Obviously monster game from Jamar Chase. Great game from T. Higgins. If you're a T. Higgins owner, which I have him in one of our three leagues, 14 targets, 9 catches, 2 touchdowns. You'll love to see that shit. That's what you were hoping. This is the Cincinnati offense you'd hope for. I saw a stat somewhere. It was on Instagram, so take it, I guess, with a grain of salt. But I think it was the Bengals have scored 100 and something points in like the last three games and haven't won a single one of those games, and that's just yeah, I don't know. I forget what the stat. It was just crazy. It's nuts. It's nuts to think about how good their offense has been getting, or how good it has been getting, and now they're not fucking winning games. Something's going on there. I don't know if it's Zach Taylor, if he's coaching and he's just not doing a good job, but they got to figure something out there. Because it's gonna be really hard for them to find a wild card spot. If they've really found their stride on offense, they're not gonna keep losing games like this, like all year. They could be 500 by their bye week in week 12 if they keep this offensive stride going. Which the way the AFC is shaping up, 500 might be good enough if you make a run past week 12 to sneak in on the wild card. Leading up to their bye week, week 12, they have the Giants, Browns, Eagles, Raiders, Ravens again, and then the Chargers, and then the bye. So the Giants and the Browns, those are games they should win. So going up against the Eagles, they should be 3-4. So if you decide, it's like if they win those games, that'll be a big statement game. Like, hey, we're beating a good team here too. We're back to 500. We got we got the Raiders here next week. That's another game we should go win. Go get that done, win those games. And then, you come back to the Ravens, who you just went toe-to-toe with and just barely lost and just barely missed. And you come back and you beat them in their home place like they just beat you in your home place. And then you got the Chargers there before the bye. So even if they do lose to, let's say the Eagles and the Ravens, they're still going to be, that would still be above 500, I believe, before, that would be, so let's say that they'd be 3-5, 4-5, 4-6, they'd be 5-6 going into the bye, I guess. Yeah, no, that wouldn't be 500. With the way their schedule is after, I don't think they could, because they still got to play Pittsburgh twice, and they got a couple other good teams on that schedule here. I'll pull that up right here. It's just, where is the AFC North? Well, maybe I don't have their schedule right here. I have every other division schedule right here except the AFC North. That's wonderful. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Just a lot of guys right up. Yeah, just a lot of good teams right there late in the year. And they're going to have to beat these good teams if they want to make the playoffs. They're going to have to make these statement wins, and they're going to have to just find a way to make it happen. They can't keep losing these close games, and especially against good teams too. But as for fantasy, both QBs, awesome starts. You got decent days from King Henry and Chase Brown. Both teams had great starts from Rashad Bateman. And going back quickly to the Cincinnati running backs, Zach Moss didn't have the greatest day, but the workload was still fairly split a little more in the favor of Chase Brown now. So if you were a Zach Moss guy, if you get a good game coming out of him next week, I think it's probably time to sell high, especially if he's out-snapped again by a significant bit. I would say it's probably time. Out-targeted, out-rushing attempted, but he still has like an efficient game. I would definitely try to sell high there. You obviously not going to be able to do it off like a 9-point fantasy game, but I would definitely have that in my mind if you're a Zach Moss guy, because he's going to be there as like a low-end flex option probably all year. but it's starting to turn over to Chase Brown's backfield. But yeah, Rashad Bateman, just a hair under 16 points. Zay Flowers had 19. And then, of course, both the Cincinnati receivers, 29 and 41.3. And yes, that's all PPR. I already mentioned the Baltimore tight ends, Mark Andrews, while the lowest scoring of the three, was the most targeted. So if you're a Mark Andrews truther, you can hang your hat on that and say, hey, and they didn't have the snap percent last night. Let me pull that up and see if they've got that if they've got that updated yet. Let's see here. So Kolar's snap percent was 27, which isn't insignificant, especially for a third string tight end. Isaiah Likely was 71. That's obviously really nice. So I'm going to say Mark Andrews probably get like what, 50, 60, 55. Wow. That was a really good guess. Wow. 55%. So I don't know what you do with Mark Andrews, man. That's a tough one. If you have him, you definitely don't cut him, and you just hope that, you know, I mean, you can get the five targets still each week, because if he gets five targets each week, he's going to be serviceable with them. He won't be an elite option like what you probably drafted him for, but nobody's tight ends are elite right now, really. I mean, aside from Brock Bowers and maybe a couple other guys that are kind of hanging around there, but I mean, the tight end's just kind of a struggle right now, just when, you know, we thought we were out the woods, and it keeps getting worse. I guess aside from this week, I shouldn't say that because it was decent this week. But, yeah, just hang your hat on that. I guess don't cut them just yet. But the Cincy tight end's pretty useless. They did catch all four of their targets, though. But, you know, just Joe Burrow's not a tight end guy. Just not his thing, which is a damn shame. It's a damn shame. All right, moving on. Jets at the Vikings, the London game, of course. Started out looking like it was going to be a bit of a blowout here, but the Jets turned it into a fun game for those fans over there, and they deserved it. They were rocking for both those teams, doing the J-E-T, Jets, just fucking fuck the Jets. But, I mean, that was cool to see the fans doing. And it was loud. You could hear it pretty significantly. So, cool to see for those fans. Cool to see for, you know, the fantasy guys like in our league. I'm glad they got a game finally this year, you know, at a normal time where they don't gotta watch it at some stupid hour of the day or night whenever football is on there. Just got a good time to enjoy some football, so I'm happy for them for that. Happy for those fans there that this game that started off kind of looking like it might be a blowout at first turned into a damn good football game, and I'm glad they got that. Looking at it here, may have been the Garrett Wilson breakout game we've been looking for. Kind of like I said at the top of the show, my man had a massive 22 targets. That is awesome, and I absolutely love it. I don't think it sticks, though. But I do think he can lock him in for about 10 or more targets a game going forward. 11 in his first game, then 6, then 9-8. But he also had San Francisco, Tennessee with Snead, New England with Gonzalez, Denver with Sertan, in there. And the first week one was fucking San Francisco. So he hasn't had the best matchup schedule coming up and just to start the year. And so seeing this, and especially against a good defense, is just super awesome to see Aaron looking his way 22 fucking times is great. You love to see that. Not gonna happen. Although I will say Lazard still got his I don't have the number right here. Let me pull it up real quick. Lazard still had his targets. His game log. He had 10, yeah. Like, so it wasn't like, oh, well, he wasn't looking. Like, no, Lazard was still an important thing there. And I just saw it right here. I don't know why Sleeper has Xavier Gibson as the wide receiver, too, for the Jets. That doesn't make a lot. That doesn't make... That doesn't make sense. What I don't get that. Like, his snap percent was 3%. Like, why is he on the sleeper? Just another classic case of why you cannot, and I do it too much, you cannot use or trust and especially in any sense rely on the sleeper depth chart. That shit is just, I think it's just AI generated or fan generated or fucking wish list generated. I don't know what the fuck it is, but do not use the sleeper depth chart. Go look at the team's website or go look at ESPN. That I would say the team's website, but the ESPN website is a little easier to use. But if you want the best info, the team's website is going to be the one to have or go to for depth chart anyways. But yeah, back to the game though. I don't think Garrett Wilson managers should worry about a Devontae trade, because even if he does come, even if he does land in New York, even if he does land in New York, I still think Wilson gets 7-8 targets a game. And yeah, that sucks. It's not 10 targets a game. It's not 12 targets a game. But I think the quality of the targets goes way up, because right now he's getting that kind of like what I was talking about with CeeDee Lamb earlier. Like, you know, like eventually you just keep throwing the ball to this one dude every single play, even if you are got Lazar on the field too. They're gonna take that dude away from you. They're gonna game plan to take that dude away from you, and they're gonna make Mike Williams beat you. They're gonna make so and so do that. They're not gonna be able to do that if Davante Adams is on the team. They're gonna probably try to way to take away Devontae, because he is the most talented and the greatest receiver, or would be the most talented and greatest receiver on the team. And then they would say our next priority is stopping Garrett Wilson. He would be priority two, and then probably the run game. Well, I don't know. The way Breece Hall's looked, you might just say, we'll let the run game stop itself. And then number three priority, the alpha takes priority. If you heard that in one of the episodes, or just priority, really weird. And that wasn't me. I tried to clip it, but I did a really bad job. And just, I'm sorry. That wasn't very good. I'm gonna clip that thing again. The alpha takes priority.
Takes priority over the teacher. The alpha takes priority over everything. Do you not know how that works?
And which would be Davante Adams. The alpha would be taking priority. Jesus Christ. And then Alan Lazard would be like their third priority to stop. Like, and so I think Lazard's targets would probably go down, you know, like 3, 4, 5 a game, and he would be a very boom bust role, still relevant in fantasy for sure. I don't think he would disappear from fantasy at all, but I still think Garrett Wilson, I think a Devontae trade might make him better, because games like this I don't think are the norm, even if Garrett Wilson has, you know, this was the breakout game. The norm is would be like 14, 15 targets, 12 targets, you know, in that area. I would rather have the quality 8-9 targets where he's one-on-one with a guy and just has to beat that one guy, as opposed to where 16 targets where he's got 2-3 guys swarming right to him as soon as he catches it, or swatting the ball away, forcing Aaron to make a bad throw because they move in the cover. It just, I'm not going to say I'm wishing for Devontae to come to the team, but I'm not panicking in any sense. And if he comes, God damn it. And if he comes over to New York, I think, God damn. pull it together, Zach. I wouldn't worry about Garrett Wilson and Devontae. If you're a Garrett Wilson manager and you're worried about Devontae, don't. Just for those reasons. As far as the Vikings go, great game from the D. Van Ginkle with the pick six, you know, he was a great pickup in the offseason. I really wish I'd got him in fantasy. He was on my draft board and just not high enough. And that was an oversight and a mistake by me. He's another guy. If he was on my team right now, I would just be too fucking good. There would be no chance. And I'm not trading for him because Brady has him. I know I'm not getting them from him. I doubt he's available. I don't see why you would trade that dude. You'd have to get an absolute haul to be trading that dude in an IDP league. But yeah, Gilmore with the pick to seal the game. I think it was 3 picks as a unit on the day. Like I've said already on the show, like other people said, and like I and other people will probably say on the show again many, many more times throughout the rest of this season, Brian Flores is way in his bag and is just chefing it the fuck up right now. That dude is just,
He is that dude. I'm gonna go ahead and say he's probably the best defensive mind in the NFL right now. I hope that's not a reach, but bro is just maybe I'm just buying the hype because I'm close to a couple Vikings fans and I see a lot of the Vikings hype or maybe the media hype with the Vikings. I don't know though. Just dude's a hell of a fucking coach. It sucks the way it ended in there in Miami because he did not deserve to get fired at all. But yeah, as far as fantasy goes there, outside of Wilson, not much to speak of. Lazard had an okay day thanks to the touchdown. Jefferson limited, still but efficient, like 15 PPR points, I believe. It's not bad. It was a bad week for the diva, Justin. Normally it's like 25 points for him, but... you'll take a 15-point week here and there. It's not bad. No running back of play that you're happy to have played in this one. I'm glad I sat Breece Hall. Little concerned about him, honestly. This is kind of how last season started as well. And obviously, he ended up as one of the best running backs on the season last year. So I'm hoping over the next couple weeks, we start to see that efficiency for him come up. That per average on attempt come up quite a bit, because I think it's like 1.7 or 1.9 right now. That's not gonna cut it, especially when you got Braylon Allen look as good as he is behind him, that could turn into an ugly timeshare really fast. And I just really hope Breece Hall gets his efficiency figured out. And they obviously want him to be the guy, and they want to get they want Braylon Allen involved clearly, but they clearly want Breece Hall to be the guy there. So hopefully he can get that efficiency going, get things going there, and Breece Hall managers can sleep a little better at night. Last game we're going to review here on this episode. Dolphins at the Patriots. I admittedly didn't really even follow the game. Not available here in Kansas like usual for the Patriots. And honestly, I want the number one draft pick, so I just kind of don't really worry about the Patriots and kind of hope they lose each game. And so far, that's working pretty well for me. Ozzy that benched Ramondre, looking at you, Brady. It's okay. Most of us would have benched him or wouldn't have started him either. With all the stuff going around, especially if you had other options, I think, or if you had a handcuff like Brady did for Ramondre and Gibson. Especially week 5, throwing it out there. All right, fuck it. Yeah, we'll chance it on it, and If he doesn't lose the job, then fuck it. Missed on it this week, but it's only week 5. It's not like it's the fantasy playoffs. We'll figure it out. I still wouldn't buy into it. Buy into Ramondre too much. I wouldn't buy into him at all, actually, if he's not on your team. I wouldn't go seeking Ramondre. Do not go seek Ramondre, because they're just not going to be in game scripts like that all year. Offense is just... that look like that with no Tua, the way Miami looks with no Tua, they're not going to be facing that all year, and they're not going to be in situations to run the ball all year. I know he catches the ball too, but Kendrick Bourne's back. That's another guy they're going to get involved in the passing game. I would not invest in him. And actually, if I had him on my team, I would try to sell high right now. Be like, hey, look. All that talk, he was going to lose his job, and he still got it and still had this good day. And see, I should have started him. I was dumb for not even starting him. Let me trade him to you. And you sell high on him because I don't think the game script's going to go like that all year. Gibson is still very involved. It's not like he's a nothing burger. And it was like, Gibson wasn't involved at all. Ramondre, full steam ahead. He has all the usage, 95% snaps. No, Gibson had like 8 rushing attempts, a couple targets, I'm pretty sure. So he's a part of the offense for sure. And if the fact that they were saying that Ramondre, might be in some hot water, or not hot water, but might get benched with the fumbling, I think that was his warning sign. If he fumbles again, like let's say this coming week or the week after, or let's say a couple weeks after that, has back-to-back games with the fumble, that's going to be panic time. And if he has that happen after a couple games, where he's game scripted out, you're not going to be able to sell high on that dude. People are going to be like, no, dude, New England sucks and he fumbles. You're not gonna get any value for him. So I would definitely try to sell high there on Ramondre. If you can throw in, I think you could probably get like a nice receiver for him. If you throw in like a throw in player, you know, if you got a low end receiver with risky, like good upside, but it's kind of risky, you know, with Ramondre, and then go get, you know, like a receiver if you need one, or I wouldn't, there's no tight end to go get, that I would go get, maybe Brock Bowers, but or if you got another running back you really like, you know, maybe go get him or something like that. But yeah, other than that, other than Stevenson, dud for fantasy in this game. Hill had just under 13 fantasy points. Waddle was single digits. Pop Douglas did have 11.9. So if you started him because of bye weeks or injury or something like that, they're in your flex spot or something, I think realistically you probably got what you were hoping for out of him. If you were being honest, I think basically essentially 12 points. I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're not asking for 20 points out of that dude. I think 12 points is... yeah, you're happy with that if you got him. So he was probably a solid pickup for you. And I would maybe hang on to him all year because they are going to throw the ball a lot. He is going to be their main guy throughout the games. And I think now that Kendrick Bourne's back, he will probably be the deep guy. So if they're going to take big shots down the field, which they probably won't with Brissett, they probably won't. But if they were to take the occasional shot, or if, you know, something like that happens, it's probably going to be to Bourne. Maybe Polk, maybe Baker. Yeah, I guess, you know, young explosive receivers. But Kendrick Bourne, that's his bread and butter, and they like him there. Jerod Mayo likes him, so he's wasn't super involved. Obviously, this first week coming back from an ACL injury, but he's gonna be involved there. So I mean, I don't know. Maybe you do sell high on Pop Douglas if you have the opportunity to do that too. Maybe you do that. And that is the last game we will review there. So let's go ahead and look into some some week six look ahead at the bye teams and what you might do, you know, to kind of Dolphins, just to kind of tie it all together into a bow right there. If you have Tyreek and Waddle, honestly, you might just be thankful that you don't have to sit around and wonder all week, should I start these guys? Should I play them? Should I bench them? What should I do? Should I sell hot? Fucking set them on your bench. Forget about it. Nobody's trading for them in the bye week anyways. Just, unless you got someone who's really trying to buy low, nobody's trading for them right now anyways. And if you've hung on to them this long and you're not in like a point where, you know, you're sub 500, if you were 500 or better, just hang on to them. Keep those diamond hands. Because Tua, you know, it's all sounds like he's ready to go as soon as, you know, he's eligible. And you go and look what he did when he came back in week 7 of 2022 from a concussion. He wasn't on IR that time. So I will say he didn't go on IR. He did go on IR. So it might take, you know, like a half of football, maybe even a game of football, just to get back into his rhythm, you know, and just everything, you know, for the season. Because that is a significant amount of time to miss. But he came back from a couple weeks in 2022, went 21 of 35 for 261 and a tutty, four rushing attempts for 15 yards, so still wasn't afraid to scramble. And we all know how that worked out for him. But yeah, I don't think you're going to see the dip. He still had a solid fantasy game coming back there. It wasn't great, but it was solid. It was very startable. And then the next three games after that, he had three straight games of three touchdowns coming back from that concussion, and had two of those games were over 300 yards passing, and the one that wasn't was 285. So, it is a terrible injury to sustain, and it was a very ugly injury on the field, dudes get knocked out and do that. You see it in fight vids all the time. I hate to be like that, but that happens. Tua's a warrior. You know, you hear all the analysts say it, and it kind of just sounds cliche and corny to say. But obviously the dude is. Dude's ready to go. He's ready to go. Like, if you told him he could have started this week, he might have started this week if you made the decision up to him. But I think the Dolphins and the NFL especially – I'm like, no, dude, you take a couple more weeks off. Where are we? Yeah, you're getting us in some hot water here. People are talking about Junior Seau again. Like, dude, stop it. R.I.P. for real. I'm not trying to laugh at, like, Junior Seau, but, like, just the perspective of, like, the NFL being like, hey, man, like, we're dirty and corrupt. Like, don't quit reminding people. But yeah, if you've hung on to those guys, just and the rushers, you know, on that team, ride it out the storm if you can. If you're sub 500 and you got to sell on them, you got to do what you got to do. But if you're above 500, hang on to it. I think you will be really glad you did, especially a guy like Tyreek, you know, Achan, you know, it will be better. It will be better. They got one more game and then a bye week. One more game and a bye week, and then he's back. So two more weeks, and then your Dolphins players, business as usual, back to normal. It'll be great. Next bye week team for week 6, the Rams. This is a tough team to not have for the week, low-key. Even despite all the injuries and the lack of overall success, you know, they still have so much fantasy relevance. You know, guys stepping up like Jordan Whittington, you know, if you've picked him up, you've been very pleased with him off the waiver wire. Tutu Atwell, if you probably got him off the waiver wire too. He's been a solid flex option for you the last couple weeks. Robinson had an okay day today thanks to the TD. I wouldn't put too much stock into Robinson personally, but fuck it, you know, if he's going to get, you know, targets, I don't know. I didn't really watch this, you know, the Rams game too hard, so I don't want to get too far into it. Might review that game a little bit later this week before week 6, but for the Packers' perspective anyways, just for their week 6 review. But, you know, Parkinson, you know, fantasy manager's been pleased with him. People that got ahead, you know, if you were hoping for, like, some crazy, you know, tight end stud, you know, you found him in the offseason in Dynasty, like, oh, I'm going to pick up this dude off the wire because he just signed this deal. I don't know who it is. Everyone was like, Colby who? Who's this guy? And you signed him. I don't think you were expecting, especially just you look at what Tyler Higbee's done recently, I don't think you were expecting him to show up and be your, you know, tight end one, like, oh, look at the steal. But I think he's just been, you know, probably what you hope for. Like, he's been a solid double-digit point tight end, which is, especially this year, as much as you can really hope for. And just, you know, and when Kupp was there, you know, he was looking good. Puka was looking good till he got hurt. And just, yeah, it's, and of course, and that's leaving out the best fantasy player on the team, Kyren. Yeah, and there's a ton of people that like to stream, you know, Matt Stafford or run it like a no QB build, and, you know, like take him in the, you know, like last, you know, like last third round, you know, or something like that. But if you're looking for a replacement for Kyren, I would maybe look to try and see if, you know, like Tank Bigsby is available in your league. Workload still increasing there. Had a good week this week. The aforementioned Rico Dowdle, you know, if he's still available in your league, or maybe even a Roschon Johnson. There's not a ton of guys available at the running back spot just because everyone is dealing with injuries and stuff. But there probably are some guys, and those are probably the three. Like, I haven't looked at their matchups. You could maybe look at one of the Houston guys as well, Cam Akers or Dare Ungabale. I definitely don't think I said that right. But either one of those guys, you know, bye week flex, you might consider if you got an injury flex fill spot, or just filling in for Kyren. I think you definitely could do a lot worse than those dudes right there, that group of dudes. And then, of course, there is the Vikings. As for Darnold, and this is another team, you know, people aren't excited to have on by. As for Darnold, I don't think anyone that, you know, that has been starting him had him as the only QB on their team to begin with. So if you have him on your team and you're starting him, you probably have another quarterback on your roster, I would imagine. And if you were able to cut that quarterback, I would imagine there's probably a guy on the waiver wire you can go find. If he's not available and you believe, I was going to say, if you do need to find a replacement for Sam Darnold, though, you might go look at DG, the general, Daniel Jones. He's been all right since week one, and he's got Cincinnati. That defense, obviously, is kind of a funnel, and very cookable. Very, very cookable. And actually, let's pull up where they rank real quickly, fantasy-wise on the year. Okay, fantasy points against defenses. Okay, already better than I thought it was. Okay, 17th. So they're right, they're middle of the pack. Okay, as far as fantasy points, like, scored against them go. Huh. I would have definitely expected, more. And Tennessee is the worst PPR? I'm not sure I'm looking at the right stat here. I'm not, yeah. Let me pull this up on Sleeper and make sure I'm getting this right, because I don't want to say that they're mid-tier and they're actually, like, ass, and or that they're ass and then they're mid-tier and, yeah, all that good stuff. So let's pull this up. Leaders, defenses, season stats. Yeah, fantasy-wise, the Bengals rank 30th as a defense. So, a defense that, fantasy-wise, they should be able to get some points off of. And, yeah, I would definitely look at Daniel Jones this week. Malik Nabers, I don't know if he's supposed to be back or not. If he's supposed to be back, definitely, I would start Daniel Jones if he's available. If not, I still probably would. If you don't like Daniel Jones or he's not available, if you believe in Bo Nix, he had a good game, you know, fantasy-wise, yesterday, so... So if you're at least just not a doubter like me, maybe not even a hater or just not a doubter, you might give him a shot and hope for the best. I wouldn't personally do that, though. I also wouldn't personally go with Dalton, just with what we saw this week, and he was already kind of trending downwards looking at the week before. Who knows what's going on there. And Rodgers might be available. Seems a little sketchy, too. Got a division rival. He got a little banged up. I saw he was listed as questionable. I bet he probably plays. That's kind of your quarterback situation there. Will Levis is probably out there. Do you really want to start Will Levis? Not really. If you're an Aaron Jones manager and you're looking for a replacement for him, you know, same as the Kyren guys, you're probably going to be... If you are an Aaron Jones manager or a Kyren manager, I would be going and look at the manager of the other guy that owns the other guy and be going and seeing, like, hey, is he going to need to pick up a running back? Because if he is, I'm going to go pick up, like, two or three so that he can't get one for Kyren or he can't get one for Aaron, and then I've got my bye week guy, and then I can pick and choose which one I want to start for that week. I can be like, oh, no. I'm hearing good stuff, you know, I heard a couple stats that makes me want to go Bigsby, or I heard something, I want to go Dowdle because I think he's going to get more work, or Roshan because I think he's going to do this and that, or the Houston guys for whatever the reason you want to go with whoever it is and why you have a hunch on those guys. If you want to play keep away with those guys, I would definitely try and get on that and try and get out in front of that, because there are going to be some managers probably looking in your league, especially if you're one of those owners looking for the same guys as you. And then for receiver, if you need something for Jefferson or Addison or one of these other guys out there, you might look at Slayton. Again, you know, all the same reasons for Daniel Jones. You might look at Slayton, especially if Malik Nabers doesn't play. Alec Pierce. If Alec Pierce isn't rostered in your league, you need to go get that dude. Rashad Bateman, he coming off a good week. I know every time you think Rashad Bateman, like, oh, okay, that's why they drafted that. He was a first-round pick. That's right. And he lets you down. But he does have the Commanders. They do got the Commanders. So, I mean, that's a great matchup. Hopefully he can put together a couple solid weeks, you know, and maybe even putting together a couple solid weeks would just help him on, like, on the field level, just get his confidence up, maybe, like, help him find a groove or something, like, oh, okay, like, now I get it, like, something clicks for him, you know, after a couple, like, really nice games, so we'll see there. And the aforementioned DeMario Douglas, probably out there somewhere too, you know, low-end flex option if you need something there. Last bye week team, the Chiefs, coming into the year, the Chiefs bye week was probably going to be one of the bye weeks managers were dreading the most. You know, you had Mahomes, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Isaiah Pacheco, Isaiah Worthy, Travis Kelce. I'm probably forgetting someone else too. But three of those guys aren't even playing now or really even soon anyways. Like, Mahomes has been disappointing for fantasy all year, probably because all these guys aren't playing. And so was Kelce, and kind of until last week. And now he's probably not going to be disappointing going forward, because it's kind of back to what it's been, where, yeah, well, since throw Travis Kelce the ball, because who the fuck else are you going to throw it to? I know they got Xavier Worthy, but he's still learning a lot of stuff there in Kansas City. It's known that that's a tough offense to learn, especially for young guys. And you look at his, you look at what he's doing. He's obviously still learning. He's going to make some big plays. He's still going to be relevant, you know, probably getting his, you know, eight targets a game. But even still, you look at last week with no Rashee Rice and, you know, all that, still just three targets. I think that probably changes, you know, going forward. I think he probably starts to get 7-8 targets. So if he does start getting those targets, he's a must start, absolutely. But for right now, he's a flex option, and Kelce is really the only must start for the Chiefs, and the only person you're going to be, I think, truly missing, like, on week six. Like, if you're truly missing Patrick Mahomes week six, if for fantasy, you're just, you're bad at fantasy, or you're a Chiefs fan. I'm sorry to put it like that, but that's just what it is. Because there's been options to kind of add in the quarterback. You obviously not cutting Mahomes, although it wouldn't have been the craziest thing so far in fantasy, especially with just what's happening with his weapons. And when guys like Derek Carr are fucking balling out, if Derek Carr is available in your league and you need to buy a weak quarterback for one of these guys, for like Sam Darnold or Mahomes, obviously that's he would be another guy you could add to that list. I don't think there's a lot to miss here outside of Kelce. And if you're the Kelce owner, you're like, all right, well, you know what, fuck it. I already suffered through most of these weeks. I got the 1 week, and now it's looking like, all right, I get through this bye week, get by without him, and he's the guy going for it, and I should get the Travis Kelce a lot closer to the Travis Kelce I was hoping to get anyways, you know, with, you know, a bunch of targets, you know, just being the man in that offense. And that will smoothly transition me into the Chiefs versus the Saints tonight. Just a little bit of a preview here. Should be a good game with the Chiefs missing so many people. I don't say that like, oh, it's a good game, the Chiefs are missing a bunch of people, fuck the Chiefs. I say that because it brings them down to the Saints level a little bit, in my opinion. I'm sure at the end of the day, the game is going to be a totally original thriller. Comes down to the last possession, late game drive by Mahomes, totally won't have any give calls at all, and there's going to be a response drive from Derek Carr, and they're going to start to go down the field, and it's going to look really good, and they're going to commit some kind of costly, weirdly dumb penalty, or just a ghostly kind of penalty that was going to lead them to commit some kind of turnover. And then the Chiefs are going to win another close one again off some late game, quote unquote, Mahomes magic or some shit type beat. I've already said I'm picking the Chiefs every single game this year. They've spiritually broken me as a football fan. Go Chiefs. Like, no, don't fuck the Chiefs. But no, I'm not betting against that. I don't care who's hurt. Is Mahomes hurt? Andy Reid's still there. Is Travis Kelce still there? All right, yeah. Defense still good? Yeah, all right, yeah. I'm picking the Chiefs. As for fantasy starts, I'm not sure. There's no obvious, like, yes, I want to rush to start. I want to rush to start, guys, for me personally, because the Chiefs giving up the 11th fewest fantasy points to wide receivers, so I'm not rushing to start, you know, Olave or Rashid Shaheed, though I am starting him in HDP and Scott Fishbowl, but that's because who I had available, but because return yards count, and a little bit because of who was available. But otherwise, I might not be playing him against the Chiefs. Sorry, I kind of got lost here in my notes. Let me find my track back here again. 11th fewest points to wide receivers. And just, I guess looking at that stat, that was, you know, that's part of that. Because the website I was looking at, that was counting the games that happened yesterday, and I guess that they were still 11th fewest. Wait, is that good or is that bad? I don't know. This pod's going on too long. I'm not rushing to start either one of those guys against the Chiefs defense. Running backs, they're giving up just 13.1 fantasy points to running backs, like running back committees on, yeah, like as a group the whole year. So I'm not looking to really start Kamara here. If you have him, you're not benching him, obviously, here, but I'm not looking at him as like, ooh, Kamara. But probably going to look dumb because even when you total in yesterday's points, he's still like the number four fantasy player, like of all fantasy players. So, Kamara is a must start. He is a must start, but I'm not looking at the matchups like, ooh, this is his matchup. He's going to kill him. Yeah. But, tight ends though, Chiefs are terrible against tight ends. Even after you factor in all the games from yesterday, you factor all those numbers in, the Chiefs still the worst fantasy team against, like, in total points against tight ends. 10 more points than the Ravens, who are 31st with 47.2 points allowed to tight ends so far. So 57 points allowed to tight ends so far on the year. That is, I should have had that math ready, 14.25 points a game. This week, obviously, we had some good tight end play. But on the season as a whole, you're taking 14.25 points every single week. Every single week. Cashing that in. Loving that. If you're getting 14.25 points every single week, I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Give, like, let me get that. Let me get that. Let me get five of them, actually. but, yeah, no, even after you factor in all those stats, they've still allowed the most catches, the most targets, and the most yards to the tight end position, and that gap is only going to grow now, even if this game is lackluster for the Saints tight ends, because the gap is already there. And so even if these guys come out and total 30 yards, and, you know, whatever, the Chiefs are going to have a crazy good game against tight ends next week, and all the other teams are going to have really bad games for them to even, like, be not last. You know, like, it's the gap there is growing every week, and I think it probably grows again this week. I don't really see why it would stop. And if I'm the Chiefs, I don't see why I would worry to have that be the gap that I clogged this week. Because if I'm the Chiefs, I'm worried about stopping Shaheed. I'm worried about stopping Olave and Kamara and making sure that Derek Carr can't get these guys the ball. Taysom Hill's not playing. I'm not worried if I think the Chiefs' mindset probably going into this game is you're going to have to beat us with Juwan Johnson, with Foster Moreau, with the other fucking what's his fucking name on their roster that's on there. He's listed number two on the sleeper depth chart, and that's case, I think, number two or three of just this episode of why you don't trust the sleeper depth chart, because Foster Moreau is definitely tight end two right now, at least until Taysom Hill is, like, the number two guy for, like, four different positions. Like, it's fucking crazy what that dude brings to the table. But, yeah, I am playing Juwan Johnson in Scott Fishbowl and in the podcast league because I do have Dallas Goedert in both those leagues. Obviously, he's on bye. And I do actually need a good game from him to win one of those leagues. I forget which one of them it is that I need the good game in. But I think if you're streaming tight end, Juwan Johnson, I think, was the stream... Before the week started, was like the stream of the week. You know, the best matchup. An okay tight end. Okay offense, you know. Like, all right, yeah, that's our guy. But, yeah, that'll bring me here over into the last little segment for tonight's show, which is a bet of the day, which is tight end related and Juwan Johnson related. It is over 22.5 receiving yards. I think that's a lock for all the reasons I've said before. He should be a big part of their game plan. That's -110 over there on FanDuel. And I'm not necessarily giving all these out as bets. I'm kind of giving that one out. It's not official gambling advice, but it's gambling advice. But it's not gambling advice. You know what I'm saying? Type beat. So, also, I did that, and I also did a parlay with that. Foster Moreau, over 11.5 receiving yards. And the Chiefs win. All comes out to plus 350, which qualifies for a boost to make it plus 455. And I may or may not have got carried away and sprinkled on an anytime Jennings touchdown, and may or may not go do the same thing for Moreau. But before I fledgle further into more nonsense and further degeneracy, I think we'll go ahead and wrap this episode up there. Guys, if you made it through this far, please go drop that like and subscribe. It helps the show out a ton, especially if you leave like the review, a 5-star little review for your boy, pointer finger touch right here. That would be super sick. It's a free way to help the show. And even if you just go, like, just comment, awesome pod, like, just something like that. It takes like 5 seconds to do, and makes it so much more visible. Like, when people are searching for content and they're searching, you know, fantasy content, searching for, you know, score updates or whatever there is they're looking for in their sports content, it makes it much more visible for that. And is a very free and awesome way to help support us. As for the rest of week 5 review, I will be on that later tonight. Might do that on Facebook Live. We'll see. I got some stuff to take care of tonight. I would like, ideally, to record the pod during the Chiefs game and kind of live react to that, and maybe go live on Facebook for doing that. But we'll see. We'll see if all that works out. I got some stuff to take care of throughout the day, so we'll see if that happens. Make sure you go like the Facebook page and go like all the social stuff. It's all been changed to Keep It About Ball. So get at us at the new handle on Twitter, at Keep It About Ball, or give me a hello or holler over there on Twitter as well, at Zach Got That Dog. And until next time, guys, let's go get these Monday night dubs. I'll talk to you soon. See ya.